Welcome to the RacerX Canada podcast show, brought to you by Shift Racing. I'm Steve Mathis, as you probably know by now, and you can check out Shift at the web at shiftracing.ca for all of the latest and greatest protective gear. We're not talking to a Shift rider this week like we did last week with Kyle Beaton, but nevertheless, the more I mention Shift, studies have shown that the more likely the word will be embedded in your brain and the more likely you'll go out and buy some Shift gear. So why don't you just shift in your seat while you shift gears into relaxed mode and shift your priorities into listening to this little chat with Monster Energy's Kawasaki's Travis Preston. That's right, I got TP to call me back. I bagged on him in the observations column a few weeks back for telling me he'd do an interview and then never calling me back despite me leaving messages. I thought that it was rude and I said so. Luckily for me, as you'll hear, Travis doesn't ever read the internet, so I'm safe from his wrath. And he agreed to do this show and even called me back twice to reschedule, so he was on it. This funny man stepped into a factory ride when James Stewart went out with an injury, and it's been a mixed bag so far for him. He's riding himself into shape, and when he's not playing Smash It Up with Eric Sorby, I think he can put himself in a 5-6th position. He's always an outgoing fellow, and he owns a donkey, which you'll soon learn tons of information about that. People also forget that early last year he was the best of the rest, after the top three guys before he got hurt. The sport of Supercross that doesn't have any room for national number 11 is not any sport that I want to be a part of. But thankfully, he's back. By the way, this interview was done before Indianapolis Supercross, in case you couldn't tell. By the time you listen to this, I will be basking in the warm sun of Florida, promoting Merge Racing Technologies, going to the GNCC, Daytona Supercross, and basically just hanging out. So thanks for listening, and I bring you Travis Preston. And I'm brought to you by Shift Racing, remember?
Hey, this is Tim Ferry, Monster Energy, Kawasaki rider, and you're listening to a podcast. I have no idea what a podcast is, but you're listening to one right now.
Travis.
Yes.
Thanks for doing this. I appreciate it.
Not a problem.
What's going on? What are you up to today?
Today, just actually getting a head start on packing for this weekend, packing the gear bag. Did some riding today at the Cowie track. You know, having such a late start, didn't get to do a lot of testing. And Cowie's never really had a guy, you know, as fat as me riding for him. So the bike setup has been a lot different for them.
Yeah, I bet. So are you happy with how it's going so far? Or what you want to, I mean, obviously you want to be doing better, but are considering where you were coming off the couch, are you happy?
Yeah, I'm actually really happy with, coming straight off the couch and qualifying. Like, blew me away. but these last 2 weekends, I've just had some bad luck. But, the lap times are getting better and better. My lap times are getting closer and closer to the top guys. So, each weekend I'm improving. So, things are looking good.
How's the bike? How do you compare it to your Honda?
The Honda does some things better. Yep. And then the Cowie does some things better. It's like you almost need to take both the bikes and mesh them together.
For a super bike.
Yeah, but actually, the more I'm testing, I think the Cowie is better because now, today, we tried different transmissions and stuff like that, and they're just making the bike better and better.
Right. Yeah, no, I talked to your mechanic, and he said that basically, early on, they just gave you James's motor set up with obviously some things for your height. Foot pegs, seat bars, things like that, and then he was hoping to get serious with you here shortly. So then
you change the transmission, and then it starts making the suspension work different because you got the power, in a different range.
Yeah.
So the suspension starts reacting different. So
your agent, because that was just a phenomenal job of what you picked up. I mean, from not having anything to jumping on a factory Cowie ride. That's great. Just like you planned, right?
Just like I planned. It was just basically luck. I wasn't planning on racing Supercross at all, and then James got hurt, and then everybody was already committed to a ride, and you know, Fisher didn't want to start, you know, yanking people from, you know, different Cali people from their team. So I was sitting at home with no, you know, no contracts or anything. So, yeah. So it worked out good.
How's the money? Is it pretty good? I mean, are you happy with that or?
Yeah, I was actually, you know, in the beginning, you know, it wasn't looking so good. But, you know, then in the end, you know, Shoei stepped up big.
Yeah.
Etnies came up, Monster, Kawasaki. I mean, all those people in the end, you know, stepped forward and paid good money.
And now you're rolling in it.
Yeah, so I'm pretty happy, you know, and especially, you know, no one's really expecting me to do much either. So that's good.
Even better, huh? It's kind of funny how you took Stewie's ride after you and him got into it, like in Toronto that time, and now you're riding his bike. It's just, I think that's kind of funny to me, anyways. So.
Yeah, it's you know, I've had to do, you know, dealer signings with him, and I've seen him in the truck, and everything's fine. You know, he acts fine, and you know we get along fine. So
everything's cool. He doesn't if you're in the truck, he doesn't just all of a sudden walk out in front of you. Like
no.
You know, it doesn't do anything like that to you?
Everything's cool, there's no problems.
Now, speaking of maybe something that's not cool, what's up with you and Sorby?
Man, that was a bad deal right there.
But it's not the first time you guys have had little run-ins.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's just weird. You know, I wasn't expecting it at all. I was just, you know, I was behind him in the heat race, you know, and I was kind of showing him the front wheel a little bit, you know. It was kind of hard to pass, and he waved me by in the mechanics area. So I go by him, and then, you know, I just take my normal race line. You know, you kind of had to go outside to do this big triple out of a turn. And, man, he just singled and then just, or he doubled and singled and just aired it out right into the middle of the turn and just T-boned me.
I really don't think he planned on making the turn.
No, it just blew me away. Like, came out of nowhere, and I was like, all right, so, you know, got back up, I caught back up to him, and, you know, then, of course, I had to clean him out, but...
Of course.
Yeah. So then we go to the last chance, and then he starts jacking with me in the last chance qualifier, too. It's like, you know, like the guy didn't want to qualify or something. It was weird.
Yeah, he was just so focused on taking you down, I guess.
Yeah,
I
like if he would have messed with me, then we both would have went to the main event. You know, life would have been good.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, it was weird.
Yeah, I talked to Moto Triple X guys, and I talked to Cali guys, and they both say, everybody says, they were in qualifying position.
I'm kind of curious to see what the Moto Triple X guys said about it, because I wouldn't think that they'd be too pumped on it.
No, they weren't pumped. When I spoke to a couple of them, they were like, yeah, I mean, you know, Sorby was just lost his mind and kind of just didn't realize that he was racing anymore. Now he thought it was roller derby.
Yeah, I mean.
And again, they also said the real shame of it was both guys didn't make a main, and they were both in position too.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what they come to. So did you guys have words in the pits?
No, you know, the AMA, they're so stupid. It's like you can take people out on the track all day long, and you don't get fined for it.
Yeah.
But then once you go into the pits and try to punch somebody, then they start fining you.
Yeah, exactly. They wanted to happen on the track.
Yeah, exactly. So I didn't feel like getting fined or anything like that. So.
Yeah. So AMAJ was clear that you were not to touch Sorby again, and probably the same for him.
Yeah, I was really disappointed in how the AMA handled the situation.
Yeah.
They treated it as I was at fault just as much as Sorby was at fault.
Right. Right.
And I'm kind of like, dude, you know, I wouldn't have started anything. You know, Sorby's the one that started the whole deal, and then he started it again in the last chance qualifier.
Now, was there something there for you because of your past history with him where he cleaned you out that one race?
According to the AMA, that does not matter at all.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I said, okay, that's fine. So then this weekend, that's in the past, too. Last weekend's in the past. So if I do it again, you know, that doesn't matter because last weekend was in the past.
Yeah, yeah.
But
you're not really going to win with them.
No, yeah, you can't. So, yeah, I mean, I'm kind of over it now. I'm just going to go race and just need to get better starts and ride a little bit faster so I can stay away from them.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. Now, have they told you anything about Nationals, Cali?
Yeah, you know, the plan from the beginning wasn't to ride nationals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my deal is just Supercross only. So, yeah, at this point, you know, Vegas is my last race.
And then do you want to do the nationals? Are you looking into doing them? Or now that you're so rich from Showy and Etnies, you don't need to do them? Or?
no, it's, you know, of course, I would love to do the nationals for Cali, but at this point, you know, it's just no teams. You know, there's no money in it, you know. And, you know, I would do it for Cali because, you know, the bike's so good and the team's so good. You know, I would, you know, almost do it for free for them. But as far as any other team goes, no one has money.
Yeah, yeah. And then,
I mean,
go ahead.
I mean, unless, you know, another situation arises where, you know, some other rider gets hurt, you know, and then I can go over, you know.
Hey, you could make a little career of this thing. You could jump around to the teams. You could fill in rides. That's not a bad idea, actually.
It's working pretty good now. So
yeah, no, I gotta say, like I said, in the pits, everybody's like, man, from the couch to a factory Cali ride, that guy, it worked out pretty nice.
Yeah, I mean, and plus, you know, riding a privateer bike last year, you can really appreciate, you know, the work and the effort that the factory team puts into
it. A privateer bike, come on, you had forks and clamps.
Oh, here we go. That thing, the Pro Circuit motor, you could have bought my bike last year.
It's working good for K-Dub this year. I wonder if he has the same setup as you on his bike, as you, kind of the same deal as you. I think so, huh? He looks like he's got, you know, everything kind of you can buy.
I have.
Yeah,
I have no idea.
Yeah, sure. But anyways.
I know.
Hey,
I'm Cali now.
Yeah, exactly. You're hanging out with them.
Yeah.
On another note, did you know your teammate's not racing this weekend?
Yeah, I heard that yesterday.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, he was, you know, that's a disappointment because I was watching him last weekend and he's been looking so good.
Yeah, no, he's on it for sure. Combined, both of you have quite a bit of years of experience in that truck.
Yeah. Yeah, he has, I think, 16 years.
I don't know, dude. A long time.
Yeah, and I have 12.
Yeah,
so,
you started, and I was going to say, you started like 96, 95?
96, yeah.
96, yeah. So, man, you guys could really get together and talk about like Upton and Chamberlain and all those guys.
We know them all.
Yeah, exactly. Now, not too many people know this, but after you rode Moto Triple X in 97, I think?
99, I rode Moto
Triple X. You actually quit motocross, didn't you?
No, actually, I quit motocross after 97.
97? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I rode for Team Chaparral in 97 with, like, Phil Lawrence, Jimmy Button, Michael Brandis, and I had a Supercross-only deal, and so then I didn't have a ride for the summer, you know, so I had to pay the bills.
Did you actually get a real job?
Yeah, I did. I had a real job for 3 weeks.
Wow. Oh, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So you never actually did quit motocross really full-time like I thought you did?
No.
I thought you were out for a little while, like you actually got a real job and worked all the time, but clearly my crack research staff
needs
to be fired.
Yeah, it was just 3 weeks, and then I went privateer style in 98, and then I got Moto Triple X in 99.
Moto Triple X in 99.
Yep.
So actually another thing you and Ferry could talk about, you both rode Moto Triple X.
Yeah, we did.
At some point. Now, what about your Husky days? You want to talk about that? People don't realize, you've been around, man. You rode Husky.
I have. Yeah, it's, you know, those Huskies, and, you know, Farachi, that was such a fun guy to hang out with, you know.
Yeah.
He was more worried about talking to ladies. And
dude, he always had chicks with him, always had chicks with him.
Every weekend he had a different lady with him, and he was just there to have a good time. And the only thing he cared about was how much horsepower his bike made and how many ladies he had in the truck. And pasta, ladies, and horsepower. That's all he cared about.
How were the bikes?
You know what? The bikes were fast. I can give Farachi credit. He made the bike go fast. But
did it turn or did it end? Did it work?
No. Suspension was not good.
Yeah.
But Farachi made good motors. And another thing, too, is like those things would be like indestructible. Like the piston ring would crack and the bike would still run. And like you would drain the oil and actual metal would be falling out of the motor. and the bike would still run.
Nice.
So, I mean, it was kind of, you know, a good story was I was racing Bud's Creek, and first moto, my bike is just, like, chattering and making all kinds of noises, and I was actually jumping La Rocca's Leap.
No, you said Bud's Creek, so Red Bud.
Oh, Bud's, yeah, Red Bud, yeah. And back then, you know, on a two-stroke, it's kind of hard to jump that.
Yeah, and you're a big guy, so.
I mean, there was only five or six guys jumping it that year, and I was jumping it every lap. And then first moto, my bike started making some funny noises. So then I stopped jumping it, and I pulled in, you know, and Frank was my mechanic then. I said, dude, the thing's making noises. So I look over, and he pops off the clutch cover, and just metal, just chunks of metal just falling out. And he just sprayed contact cleaner, put a new clutch in.
Nice.
And just ran it, and the thing ran the whole second moto.
Hopefully Kehoe's not listening to this, and Frank, he's got to go to the shop the next day.
Well, I mean, there's nothing he could do. For us, you didn't have parts, and there was no time to change anything. So.
I remember I talked to JT's mechanic, and they were having swing arm breakage problems, and Farachi just kept welding it because he had a welder in the truck. And so they just keep welding the swing arms. It looked like Frankenstein with all the welds. They had no parts, so they just kept welding the same swing arm.
It was kind of cool. You know, it brought it back to like the 70s, you know, just throw duct tape and some zip ties and weld it.
Yeah, yeah. But you rode for Farachi for 2 years, right?
No, 1 year.
Just 1 year? Okay. And you won a Supercross.
Won a Supercross, and actually I think I got top 10. I don't remember. I think I got 12th overall in the Nationals.
Yeah.
In 2001.
Oh, that's cool. So the Supercross you won was when Langston had his infamous one-handed crash on the last lap.
Yeah.
What happened when you won that race? Like, take me through the Team Husky celebration.
You know, I can't even remember what we did. I just remember I didn't even know what place I was in the whole race, you know. So I came across the finish, and, you know, I was positive I was in the top five.
Yeah.
So I came across the finish, and then I see everybody, like, rushing me, you know, like fat kids jumping over the tough blocks, and everybody's running towards me. And I'm like, dude, what's going on? And the fat kid's like, dude, you won. And I was like, oh, I was in second place. You know, I realized I seen Langston on the ground, but I didn't know I was in second.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool. Now, did you get a bonus from Husky pretty good, or, like, was that even in your contract?
You know, that's another thing Frosh did. He paid on time all the time, you know, like, the check is there on the 15th every month.
Yeah.
And actually, I think I won the race, you know, Saturday night, and Farachi paid me that next Tuesday.
Nice.
So he was pretty good about paying you.
Now, for people that are listening and are like, well, isn't that normal? Not in the privateer world of motocross.
Actually, I'm still trying to get paid for some people when I rode for Honda.
And I'm still trying to get paid from Nolene Yamaha in 1999. Nolene Yamaha.
Utopia Goggles is still trying to pay me from 2005.
So that says something about old Araldo, that he was able to get that check to you.
He was a good guy, yeah.
Yeah, he's cool. I know when I worked for KTM, McKelly Smith, you know, they gave him an option of a championship bonus or a race win bonus. And he was like, well, I got no chance at either, so give me the $1 million championship bonus or whatever. And then he goes out and wins Mount Morris, and he all he got was KTM contingency.
Oh, man.
Yeah, like $300 he got for winning that race from KTM.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, he was like, well, I figured I would never win either, so may as well just pick the championship.
He doesn't want more money.
Yeah, exactly. So what are you going to do next year? Any ideas?
I have no idea.
No idea?
You know, I'm just a day-by-day guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, is it possible that you retire again?
It could be, yeah.
Wow.
I just know I'm having fun right now riding for Cali, and, you know, Vegas is my last race. And then, you know, if I don't, of course, you know, I'm going to pursue options, you know, for rides for Supercross. Yeah. But if nothing, you know, looks good, then, I'll just have to...
Hang up
the boots again.
You know what you should do for this summer is somehow get in touch with Reed and go ride his Australian Supercross series.
Actually, yeah, a guy 2 days before Kawasaki called me.
Yep.
A guy from the Honda team in Australia called me to do that Australian Supercross series.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And they're actually paying pretty good money too.
Yeah, there you go.
I might have to look into that.
Yeah. Then you gotta get on a flight though. You gotta leave the high desert, and nobody wants to do that.
No, you know what? I'm over the desert.
Really?
Yeah, it's windy every day. It's cold.
Yeah, I know. I heard you got some kick-ass trails right out your door.
You know what? If you want some good trail riding, I have some really good trails.
Yeah, Gothic Jay told me that it's epic, and I have to go.
Single track and some hills that you can't go up.
Really? Even Gothic? Cool. Gothic can't climb them?
Yeah, a Gothic can make it, but it'll take them 3 or 4 tries. But the first time, because the stuff happens fast, and if you don't know the trail for your first time out, you're not going to make the hills too easy.
You're done.
Yeah, but it's a good time for me to go out there and watch everyone cartwheel their bikes.
Yeah, exactly. Now, you really had a magazine bike? Transworld gave you, is that all you had for a bike, for reals?
Yeah. I kept trying to get a bike from Honda, and they're like, oh, you know. Kept giving me the runaround.
Times are tough.
Yeah, times are tough. And I was talking to Don one day about something else, and he said, dude, I have a Cali just sitting in my garage.
Yeah.
So I said, all right. So he said, yeah, you know, ride it for a month or two. So I borrowed his bike and rode it for a month, and then...
It's bone stock? Did you have anything done to it, or...?
No, bone stock. Loved it. Rode it 2-3 times a week.
Nice.
Yeah, and then I gave that bike back, and 2 or 3 weeks went by. And then Cali called me.
Huh. Yeah, your whole deal is just real funny to me. I just love that. I just love the fact that you know, I talked to you in Anaheim, too, and you were like, yeah, I'm done. You know, just hang out. And now you're Factory Cali, and you got a magazine bike for a little while, and, you know.
It's kind of hard to, because my lifestyle was so relaxed. You know, like, if I didn't want to get off the couch, I wouldn't get off the couch that day.
Yeah.
And then now, I went from doing absolutely nothing to...
Pinned.
You know... training, pinned, like, you know, interviews and dealer signings and travel, and like my life changed in a split second.
Yeah. So is the wife liking it, or is she not liking it?
Oh, she loves it. She was getting so pissed because, you know, I get bored and I just start irritating her all day.
Yeah. Now, is it true you have a donkey?
Yeah. My wife's out combing it right now.
What's his name? Her name?
Bunny.
Bunny.
We call her Bunny because she has big ears.
Yeah. And what kind of maintenance is involved in a donkey?
The donkey's low maintenance.
Really? Perfect for you.
Dude, she's like a diesel tractor.
Yeah.
She's low maintenance. She's tough, reliable, and the thing eats sticks, weeds, whatever, and it never gets sick.
Well, you know, in the old days, the donkey was the diesel tractor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, she doesn't bark. She doesn't make any noise.
Wow. And like, does a donkey recognize that, you know, the dog comes up and gives you love and wags his tail? Does the donkey do that?
The donkey hates the dogs. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you sit outside, the donkey will come up.
Oh, he will?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe I should get a donkey. That's kind of cool.
And it cuts down on your weeds, too. If you have weeds in the yard, the donkey will eat all the weeds.
Oh, yeah. Red actually had some cows on his property in Florida, and they took care of his supercross weeds, no problem on his track.
See, it's good.
But, yeah, no, he was pretty pumped on that. All he had to do was give him an apple once in a while. They were real good with that.
And you get a tax deduction, too, so it's good.
Yeah, I think you do.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, nice. Nice you're on top of that. So what about this buddy in the desert with the bald tires on a Honda, Gothic Jay?
Dude, how'd you hear about that guy?
Gothic Jay is like, you gotta ask TP about his buddy. I forget his name.
Hey, his name is Jimmy Pardue.
Jimmy Pardue.
And he drives tractors for a living, and that's what he does, 9 to 5 every day. And he loves motocross. He eats, breathes, and sleeps motocross.
Jeez.
So, like, if it gets dark at 5:30 and he gets home at 5:15, he will no joke suit up and ride for 15 minutes.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, he calls me. It'll be dark outside. And he'll be like, dude, I'm in the middle of Honda Valley. I can't see nothing. You know, can you come pick me up?
And Jay says he kind of hauls ass, too.
Yeah, he goes really fast. Like, I think if we could get him to a national, he might almost qualify for the motos.
Really?
Yeah. He smokes Lars. He smokes Jay.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Lars is fast.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Like any condition, Paris, ruts, sand, dry, anything.
We got to get him a new tire because Jay said his tire is always bald from riding so much.
His bike is the worst. And his throttle sticks. If you open his throttle wide open, it'll stick wide open.
Oh, nice.
And then his grips are so worn out that he doesn't have grips on the throttle side, because it's worn down to the plastic.
Really? What about giving Jimmy some grips, Travis?
He doesn't take the time to put them on. So.
Yeah, forget it, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, that's classic. That guy, I gotta hang out with that guy. Jay said he's quite a trip.
Yeah, he's a pretty good rider.
Now, do you spend much time on the internet from the motocross chat rooms and all that? What's your take on that?
I spend no time on the internet unless I'm booking a car rental or an airplane ticket.
Yeah. So
that's it.
You really never read any of that stuff?
No.
Okay.
No.
Oh, that's
why.
Just wondering. I always wonder with the riders. I ask them, you know, what the deal is with the internet, if they go on it, and some say they do, some say they don't, you know, so.
Yeah, I've never gotten into that.
Yeah, there's quite a big deal on there about you and Sorby, of course, so.
Well, I'm kind of hoping that people are taking my side on the deal.
Well, it's like the internet, you'll never get everybody on one side.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, you know, so. What do you think about the fact that the Privateer Awards got changed this year to a top non-factory rider? Did you know that?
No, I'm not sure. You know, I know you're the man when it comes to the latest on Privateer stuff.
Yeah, I care. I care. And I didn't want to throw you under the bus last year, you know, but again, it's such a delicate subject. I just don't think the money's going to the right guys. But then again, I think you told me what you were making last year, and it would be very surprising to the people to realize what you made in salary last year.
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's not a lot, no.
So that money could have helped you. But,
yeah.
But, you know, then again, you had things on your bike that the average privateer couldn't get, so.
Well, you know, those clamps, the so-called clamps that you talk about are clamps that if you had the money, you could go make.
Well, of course, yes, but.
Because that's all Factory Connection did. They just copied Honda's triple clamp.
Yeah, but what are the chances of me getting the CAD, the CAD drawings from Factory Connection or Honda? Hey, I want to build some clamps. Can I get those drawings, please, from my local machinist?
Yeah, that's true. If you had a guy smart enough, he could copy it, though.
Yeah, maybe. But I know you've been there. You've been the guy in a box van making no money, driving to the races. You know what I mean? Like, you've seen everything. You've seen top factory rider, rock star, like you are right now.
And I know being a factory rider now, like, I don't do anything, you know, as far as, like, I remember Ferry was telling me when he rode for MotoXXX, like, he had, like, one set of good suspension, and he had to, like, carry it back and forth with him every weekend, and, you know, that's, you know, doing things like that, that's a big hassle, you know, and I have a little carry-on bag, and I go to the race, you know? It's like guys like that actually don't make a lot of money, have to do all the extra work like that. Those are the guys that need to get paid.
Yeah, no, he would have to change out his motor all the time in the garage and stuff like that. So it's probably a good reason why you just wanted to stay on the couch this year earlier.
So what's the deal now? Like, so if you're a non-fact, so like, who would be eligible for that?
Anybody who's not in the five factory trucks plus Kevin Windham.
So how about, and I'm sure Chad Reed, right, Nathan Rankin?
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah, and Chad Reed is an exception. Yeah. Everybody else is open, and Nathan Ramsey wasn't eligible for it. And Brooks, when I interviewed Brooks a few weeks ago, he was like, oh, really? Oh, he's like, I should talk to Dave Prater and get Nathan Ramsey on that list because his bike is exactly the same as Summy's and Hansen's and these kind of guys. So
you're telling me Summy and Hansen can get that?
Yeah, clearly you haven't been on the internet. You're proving it right now. But, they're privateers.
You see Summy's and Hansen's bike, dude. There's no way those guys should be eligible for that.
I know. And Summy's a good friend of mine. I like the guy for sure. But you're right. I mean, there's just no way that, you know, those guys should be eligible for that money. So.
Good for Summy, though. You know, it's more money in his pocket.
Hey, yeah, no. If you play the system, for sure. Just like you last year, you weren't doing anything wrong, you know?
Yeah, I was just riding.
What prompted your switch to Answer Gear? Did you have multiple bidding wars? I mean, how did that come together?
No, you know, it was just between Fox and Answer, and Fox didn't have money, and Answer did.
Good choice.
So, yeah, it's a pretty easy choice, you know?
Yeah. And all your other sponsors like Shoei, and they've been around with you for a while, so.
You know, I got to really, you know, Shoei has really done a lot, and they really take care of me well, you know, especially, you know, last year I got hurt, and then this year, you know, I wasn't even going to race, and, you know, they still have that helmet and everything, so.
Yeah.
So it's been really good to me.
Yeah, last year was a real bummer, man. You came out, didn't you get 2/4 the first two rounds?
2/4, yeah. And then I got a fifth.
And then a fifth, and then you kind of crashed, and you kind of struggled after that a little bit. That's a real shame for sure. I mean, you could have really parlayed that ride into something great this year.
Yeah, I think, you know, after all said and done, I still got 12th or 13th overall.
Yeah, really, huh? After riding, what, 7 races or something?
Yeah. So.
Nice move. Now, do you regret not signing with MDK or Gibbs? I mean, obviously it's worked out good now, but were you kicking yourself in the beginning of January?
Yeah. Yeah, especially, you know, once I figured out what was going on. And when it all came crashing down, I realized I wasn't going to be racing Supercross.
Yeah.
Was when I was in North Carolina at Sean's wedding.
Yep.
And, you know, Sean works for Gibbs now.
Right.
So, you know, I had the whole tour of their shop and then the NASCAR shop, and Sean took me to their test track and their outdoor track. And when I seen what a good setup those guys have going on, and then I saw how nice North Carolina was, you know, that Norman Lake and everything. I mean, it's just a nice place.
Yeah, you were prepared to move out there?
Oh, I was ready. I was like, dude, I mean, you guys need a test rider. I mean, I'll sweep the floor or whatever, you know.
I'll be a jack man.
Yeah.
I'll be the rear quarter panel guy.
Jack, man.
I'll be the guy going over the wall. But, yeah, no, that was a real bummer. And I think it sucks for it's a real good journalist word, it sucks. But it sucks for the sport when, you know, number 11, top 5 guy doesn't have a ride, you know. And, I mean, some of it's your own fault, but at the end of the day, there should be a room for you somewhere, you know. And I'm glad that you've landed on your feet, for sure.
Yeah, you know, and I look at it as is, everything happens for a reason, and, you know, I wasn't meant to ride Gibbs, and I'm just really happy to ride Kawasaki. You know, I've met a lot of good people at Kawasaki, and...
They're a cool team. They're a real cool
team.
Yeah,
it's kind of weird, you know, ride for Honda. I thought everyone was cool at Honda, and then I go to Cowie, and, you know, those guys are cool, too, so it's just fun.
Yeah, does Fisher kind of intimidate you sometimes?
No.
No?
I walked into the door and I told Fisher, I said, look, this is how I do it. You know, don't get in my way and we'll be all right. And Fisher said, all right.
All right. So. Wow. Look at you. He kind of scares me a little bit because he's very serious, you know?
And yeah, he is.
I can imagine him, like with the Sorby thing on the weekend, I wasn't there, but I can imagine him, again, getting very upset and very serious.
Yeah, you know, that's what I really like about Fish, because I'm kind of the exact opposite of Fisher. I'm like a really like mellow, like whatever type of guy.
Yeah.
And Fish is a real hothead. so I just love to see Fish get fired up at the AMA, get fired up at this guy, that guy. It's fun to watch him get, you know, pissed off.
Yeah. And didn't you and Ferry have some run-ins maybe like years ago, I thought? I remember something coming up.
No, and I don't understand why you try to stir it up anyways. You know,
no, I want to talk about if you guys laugh about it now. I think when I was his mechanic, I thought there was some story, or you guys, was I working for him? I don't remember.
You know what? You're talking years ago.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I go way back with Red, so I think he's told me a story about every rider on the track.
I think Ferry's relating to, I think Ferry used to have a house next to Michael Brandis.
Uh-huh.
And I used to live with Brandis.
Okay.
And Ferry and Brandis didn't get along.
Yeah, so of course, by association.
So Brandis would, like, mess with Ferry and do all these things, but I was just an innocent bystander.
Brandis was fast, huh?
Brandis was a good rider. He had some natural talent.
Remember that year at Bud's Creek? He led for half the moto on a Team Stiffy bike?
Yeah, he was and he was really good at, like, making tracks. Like, if it would rain, like in, you know, Temecula.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brandis would just carve the sweetest tracks into the mountains, and we would just moto.
Oh. Yeah, that was a guy I always thought that was such a nice-looking rider and really never really amounted to much.
Yeah. Happens.
Yeah, that happens sometimes. Now look at you, factory rider.
Who, me?
Yeah, you, like, you know, you.
Yeah, it's just, after so many years of riding, you know, I should get good at it, I guess.
Dude, you've been, I mean, Huskies, Moto Triple X, you quit for a little bit, Chaparral, Factory Honda, Factory Kawasaki. You've got quite a career arc. Like, if you put your career on a little graph,
yeah.
Up, down, up, down.
Yeah, it's you know, the cool thing is I just met a lot of good people, and, you know, I've experienced both sides. Like you say, the box van side of it, you know, driving 36 hours to, you know, South Bend, Indiana, and
yeah.
then, you know, now I fly first class every weekend, so it's great.
Yeah, and you got a donkey. I
yeah.
mean, nothing else says that you've made it than owning a donkey.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, well, cool. Thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it. I know last time you never called me back. You never even acknowledged.
Well, you know, it was you know, the whole Cowie thing just happened, and
I
had to do a bunch of interviews for those guys. And
it would have been great, though, for my show. I would have had a scoop, you know, but I understand.
I was on the phone nonstop. Now the calls have died down, so it's easier.
You didn't make a main. Calls have died down.
Well,
cool. Thanks a lot for doing this, Travis. And then I will see you this weekend. You'll be the lone soldier in the Cowie truck, so I'm sure you'll see me coming by.
All right. Well, I'll see you out there then.
Thanks, Travis.
All right.
Bye.
That's it for this week's RacerX Canada podcast, brought to you by Shift Racing. Check him out on the web at shiftracing.ca. He was a pretty good guest. Travis is a pretty funny guy. I'd like to do part two with him if I could. He's got a lot of interesting things to say, and I think he'll do better as the season goes on. Especially like talking about his donkey for some reason. That really fascinates me. So if he can avoid any Eric Sorby entanglements as the season goes on, I think by the end of the season you should see him in the top 10. And good for him. Maybe we'll try to get him for a part two. Again, thanks for listening to the RacerX Canada podcast, and see you next week.